for a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Christianity and patriotism. Christianity and patriotism do have much in common. Let's see the significance. Number one, our patriotic hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, was written by a Baptist clergyman, Samuel Francis Smith. Number two, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag was written in 1892 by a Baptist minister, Bellamy. Number three, the words In God We Trust, carried on all of our coins, are traced to the efforts of the preacher W.R. Watkinson of Radleyville, Pennsylvania. His letter of concern addressed to the Honorable S.P. Chase was dated November 13, 1861. 7 days later, Mr. Chase wrote to James Pollock, director of the U.S. Mint, the following: No nation can be strong except in the strength of God, or safe except in his defense. The trust of our people in God should be declared on our national coins. Will you cause a device to be prepared without delay with a motto expressing in the finest and tersest words possible this national recognition? Number four, the president of the College of New Jersey, the preacher John Witherspoon, was the only clergyman to sign the Declaration of Independence. He is too much forgotten in our history books. John Witherspoon had a far-reaching influence on democracy. He had personally taught several of the signers of the document, and nine of them were graduates of the little college over which he presided at that time, its name, Princeton. When he took up his pen to put his name to the document, Witherspoon declares, There is a tide in the affairs of men, a spark. We perceive it now before us. To hesitate is to consent to own slavery. That noble instrument upon the table that ensures immortality to its author should be subscribed this very morning by every pen in this house. He that will not respond to its assents and strain every nerve to carry into effect its provisions is unworthy of the name of free man. For my own part of property, I have some, of reputation more. The reputation is staked, that property is pledged on the issue of this contest, and although these gray hairs must soon descend into the sepulchre, I would infinitely rather that they descend thither by the hand of the executioner than desert at this crisis the sacred cause of my country. Thank you to Glory Gleanings for that excerpt. Now in the U.S. Today article, there was an opposing view written by Rob Schenck, U.S. Answers to Higher Law. Our country, he says, is rooted in the precepts of the Ten Commandments. It could be argued that the Ten Commandments should be publicly displayed for no other reason than that these precepts informed our founders. Our system of law is based on English common law, which had its moral foundation in the Ten Commandments. But there are other reasons for these timeless words to be publicly recognized by Americans. The commandments are a constant reminder of a higher moral authority than us. We are not the ultimate arbitrators of right and wrong. The image of Moses in the Capitol is a statement that the laws of God are higher than the laws of man. Not all governments agree. In many countries, murder serves a state purpose. Not so here. We believe moral absolutes control governments as much as individuals. We can't change the commandment against murder because we didn't make it in the first place. So it is with all the commandments and the laws they affect. Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens says the commandments can't be displayed publicly because they reference God. Yet the Declaration of Independence refers to nature's God. Our president swears in his oath to office, so help me, God. Congress begins its day with a prayer to God. The Supreme Court itself announces every sitting with God save the United States and this honorable court. Contrary to what some critics claim, this public acknowledgement of God transcends religious sectarianism and unites us rather than divides us. Our national motto carried on our money is, in God we trust. We pledge allegiance to one nation under God. The Ten Commandments simply explain what God requires of us. Jews, Christians, and other groups equally have revered the commandments, and nearly every other so-called religious and secular group considers them beneficial for society. Or may I add, it's immaterial what they think. As long as the Bible teaches it, that's the crucial point right there. The founders knew liberty could be afforded only to a people restrained internally by a moral governor. No matter how many laws we have against murder, how many police we have to catch the culprits, how many courts we have to persecute and punish them, and how many prisons we have to lock them up, only a conscience informed by a law greater than a human law can stop a murder before it happens. Displaying the Ten Commandments on public property is an admission by all of us of this truth. As I continue on the religious file today, I add VMI prayer fails to win court approval. An evenly divided federal appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, let stand a ruling that group prayers before evening meals at Virginia Military Institute are unconstitutional. The ruling backs a three-judge panel's decision that the prayers, although non-denominational, violate the separation of church and state. Virginia Attorney General Jerry Gilgore said he would appeal to the United States Supreme Court. These prayers are the kind of prayers recited in the United States military on ships at sea each night and before lunch at the United States Naval Academy, he said. The ACLU sued on behalf of two former cadets in the year 2001. It said the school's rich atmosphere doesn't accommodate cadets who don't wish to take part. VMI is a state-supported school in Lexington. It discontinued the prayers while the lawsuit is pending. May I add that our country was founded upon biblical principles of prayer, and without the faithful prayers of thousands, we today would not have the freedoms we so gladfully enjoy. May I say that the Bible plainly teaches men ought always to pray not to faint, and the commandment admonishment, pray without ceasing. Prayer is an intricate part of our lives, an intricate part of the ability to know the will of God for our lives, for our families, for our churches, and for this country. And the devil is doing a good job kicking out prayer out of our lives. But we know what the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. In a letter to the USA Today titled, Don't Encourage Kids' Reckless Independence. Shame on the USA Today, the writer said. Sure, mindless parents may give their preteens money to buy their own school clothes, but putting this so-called news on the front page further exploits youth and feeds a growing frenzy for teens to have power without supervision. Based on an article titled, More Parents Are Leaving School Shopping to the Kids. Cover story news. And then the one who wrote to the USA Today continues to say, in my opinion, the lack of parental involvement and parental character are major reasons we have so many problems with our kids today. What do we expect when we give them money to buy clothes unsupervised? For sure, they learn materialism, which grows into selfish, undisciplined attitudes later in life. And they probably will go out and buy more sleazy clothes and long, dangly earrings because the parents have already bought into the lie from retailers and fashion experts that skimpy clothes are stylish and fashionable on our kids. Why do we want our daughters to show their naked bodies? Why do we dress them in ways that say, look at my body? And we wonder why they can't cope down the road and why the young boys sometimes go crazy and all of the things that tempt our youth. Surely, this has to be part of a root cause for teen pregnancy and teen abortions. Well, the Bible's so very clear. Flee youthful lust. Again, we read more and more and hear more and more about the moral decline of our society. Why? Well, they kick God out of the schools, kick prayer out of the schools, kick the Bible out of the schools. What do you have left? You have immorality. Generally speaking, when the church is starting to compromise the convictions that the Bible has taught for thousands of years, we find usually that the society follows right after it. In fact, much of this moral decline in our country is a result of the church's departure from the Word of God. We see a clear indication of this as gay man elected Episcopal bishop. Now, we have known for years that the Episcopalians, among many of the other major denominations today, are ecumenical, and they have totally gone against the doctrines of the Word of God. New Hampshire Episcopalians elected an openly gay man as their next bishop on on that Saturday of this article, setting up a battle over his confirmation next month by the National General Convention of Church, deeply divided on the issue of homosexuality. I plan to be a good bishop, not a gay bishop, says V. Gene Robison, who was elected over three other candidates by clergy and lay leaders. Well, there's no such thing as a good bishop. If you're a gay bishop, you're an abomination to God. In 1998, the Anglican Communion, which represents 77 million people worldwide, including 2.3 million members of the Episcopal Church in the USA, approved a resolution calling gay sex incompatible with Scripture. Well, at least they came up with something right. If confirmed at the National Convention, Robison will be installed as their bishop. Well, again, the signs of the times are falling away from the faith. These denominations have long departed from the Word of God. And only now, and we're seeing a decline. They've allowed sodomy in their churches. They've allowed priests to be sodomites. And now it's no wonder their bishops are being elected who are sodomites. This is just another indication that without the Bible and without Jesus Christ, this world is being turned into hell. A nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. From the dispatch in Jerusalem, miniature drones on the horizon. Israel, which has led the world in developing pilotless drones for military use, is now testing a new generation the size of credit cards. The miniature drones will carry tiny cameras and are too small to be spotted by the eye or by radar. Launched by hand, the planes are more versatile than existing larger models. They are expected to be in use in about 2 years. In these last days, we do see an increase in knowledge, as the Bible foretold. And we see science, falsely so-called, being perpetrated more and more than ever before. And many people have asked me over the years, how will it be possible that the whole world will see the witnesses dead there during the tribulation? Those two witnesses that will be killed, the whole world will witness it. And simply with the technology today, as I'm reading to you, you see that the feasibility and the possibility is already here. Digital diary in works at the Pentagon. The Pentagon is seeking bids on a contract to develop LifeLog, a multimedia digital diary that would be a record of everywhere a person goes and everything the person sees, hears, reads, says, and touches. The goal is to create software that helps analyze behavior, habits, and routines, according to Pentagon documents reviewed by the Associated Press. The data would be used to help understand how people learn and then to tailor military training accordingly. LifeLog would capture a person's experience in and interactions with the world through a camera, microphone, and sensors worn by the user. Everything from heartbeats to travel to the internet chatting would be recorded. A user would have to consent to be monitored. The products of the unclassified project would be available to both the private sector and other government agencies. What about that? According to John Pike of the GlobalSecurity.org, a defense analysis group, doubts it would help the military. He is concerned about possible violations of privacy. Well, surely that is definitely a concern. But what about a fulfillment of prophecy where the Antichrist will have the ability to track everybody, and he will then, of course, assign the mark of the beast to those who are not the children of God? All these things are coming about in a very rapid pace. The question I ask you, are you ready to meet God? Are you willing to receive the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior? Without Him, you're all susceptible to be caught in this web of the one world system. Now, lastly, on my last day's technology file, we have an article here titled, Little Brother Could Be Watching You Too. Proliferation of spy cameras raises concerns about privacy. This, of course, goes right along with what I've already spoken about. Next time you go out for a walk, don't forget to smile for the camera. In these times of heightened security and rapidly falling technology costs, it's no longer just banks and grocery stores that are using hidden surveillance cameras. A growing number of Americans are installing them, as well as using secret nanny cams in their homes and even carrying tiny cameras in cell phones and other devices. It once was just Big Brother that privacy-minded people had to worry about, but now it's Little Brother, says Howard Rheingold, a technology watcher and author of Smart Mobs, The Next Social Revolution. It used to be that you thought only the state had the power and technology to do surveillance, but now that's a common thing. It could be your neighbor, your relative. These days, miniature spy cams are so small and inexpensive that they could be anywhere. Someone pointing a cell phone or a pen at you might have one. The devices can even be hidden in sunglasses. Tiny cameras can be purchased in stores or over the internet for as little as $100 and easily hidden in boom boxes, cleaning boxes, and other items. Cell phone cameras, still somewhat a novelty in the United States, have become so popular elsewhere that gyms in Australia and Hong Kong are reportedly banning them from pools and locker rooms for fear of secret pictures being taken and transmitted to anyone on the planet. Security cameras also are becoming the thing of the past. San Jose police discovered pictures from a neighbor's home surveillance camera last week showing a man following a 9-year-old Jeanette Tamayo into her home and then screeching off in a car. Although the video did not necessarily play a major role in the arrest of the suspect, it did show that cameras were watching even when humans are not. Now, privacy experts are still more concerned about government surveillance, but Big Brother can get hold of private images too. Though law enforcement officials have to safeguard public's constitutional rights, private companies and individuals can focus their cameras in public spaces without the same worries. Whether you can use legal means to stop somebody from taking pictures of you depends on the circumstances. But when you're in public and in plain view, particularly when the person taking the picture is a private person, there's not a lot of recourse. You can't assume any place you go is private because the means of this surveillance are becoming so affordable and so invisible. The idea that your spouse or your parents don't know where you are at all times may be part of the past. Is that good or bad? Will that make for better marriages or worse marriages? I don't know, this fellow said here. It is the classic trade-off, security versus privacy, says James Katz, professor of communications at Rutgers University, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Right now, security is winning. The good that comes from safety and security outweighs the losses to freedom of speech and freedom of association that tend to be dampened when people are monitored, Katz says. Ever since British Woodward was convicted in 1997 of killing her 8-month-old charge, parents have been snapping up nanny cams at the Carolina Spy Shop and Spy Zone's 7 stores worldwide. Spokeswoman Arielle Jamil says it woke up the baby boomers and parents who don't have the money to hire a permanent nanny with full background checks, but can buy a $500 covert video system. Many systems simply there to catch a thief. Even churches have security cameras. Whatever the reason, Americans are certainly filming each other. Well, here again, another example that we are in the last days of the last days, when it is possible to be able to watch your every move. I'm so glad I can say that I need not to worry about the tribulation period or any of the things that will lead up to it, because I'm going to be taken out of this world in the rapture. And you can too. You can escape the great wrath to come if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah for both the Jews and the Gentiles. Documentation from Zion News International. Now, stay tuned. We've got even more good programming coming your way. You don't want to miss 1 minute. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world, and we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Show with mercy. before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried, and I'm so glad that you're able to stay with us for the last half of this broadcast. And we're going to continue on the series, Why Does Israel Suffer? And we talked about the blessings and the cursings, blessings to Israel if they would obey God, and cursings upon them if they would disobey God. And we've been looking at the divine indictment upon Israel by God Almighty. And Ezekiel chapter 5, verses 5 to 17, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord God, This is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes, they have not walked in them. So you could tell that God has a problem with the nation of Israel historically, and this was because they were involved in more wickedness than all the nations around them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. So the Lord God was warning Israel that because of their wickedness, he was going to allow them involvement in cannibalism, because that's, of course, part of the heathen practices that we have seen, where they would do such wickedness. And even in today's world, we hear of cannibalism in countries of the heathen. And it had come to pass that the nation of Israel was scattered to the four winds. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished. And I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Moreover, I will make thee waste, and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction and an astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgments in thee in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Lord, have spoken it. When I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break off your staff of bread. So will I send upon you famine and evil beast, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I'll bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And this was given to the prophet Ezekiel regarding the nation of Israel, an indictment against his chosen people, Israel, the apple of his eye. Why would he say such things against the people that he loves? Because the people that he loves have gone against the God of the Bible. And this is the problem with Israel today, beloved. Israel is not a nation under God. And Israel has forsaken the Lord God. And God is chastening them now. Even in Malachi chapter 1, the Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the board of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the board of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And after ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. And we see this partly fulfilled in the fact that the Gentiles have been called out to receive the Messiah. And many, many thousands upon thousands have recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? The Israelites were supposed to bring animals that were without blemish, that were not sick, were not lame. But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. In chapter 3 of Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom he delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And of course, we are seeing the first and second coming in these verses. But there is going to be a time that Jesus, the Messiah, coming the second time, he will come suddenly. And he will come to judge. And we see that John the Baptist was the messenger of the covenant, and he did prepare the way before the Lord. But they rejected him the first time. But the second time, they will receive the messenger, and the Lord Jesus Christ will be received by Israel. But only after that he comes by judgment. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Here's the reason. That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Why does Israel suffer? Because God has judged them. And because God is using his judgments and his chastening hand to bring them to repentance. That is why. The scriptures continue to say, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thanks be to God for that. For had God changed his mind about his promises towards Israel, Israel would not be in existence today. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? How sad. Today, if you are a Jewish person, would you not return to the Lord God of your fathers and receive the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as prophesied over 100 times about his first coming, and he fulfilled every one of them, and 200 other prophecies regarding the second coming is to come to pass. Judgment is coming, Ezekiel tells us, by inspiration of God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy against them, and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys. Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. Judgment's coming upon the nation of Israel. You haven't seen anything else. You haven't seen anything yet. Rather, the sufferings of the Jews. Books and books have been written about their sufferings. Yet God is going to judge Israel. Why, you say, why are they suffering? It is God's only way to be able to bring them back to himself. That's right. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. If you're an Israelite, will you heed the warning? Will you heed the warning? In all your dwelling places, the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, and your idols may be broken and cease. And your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. We see that has been fulfilled, and that even today in the nation of Israel, there's over 5 million Jewish people who have come from all the four corners of the world. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I have broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a-whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. Many, many, many Jews throughout the world are recognizing who the Messiah is and recognizing their sinful condition and recognizing, folks, that they need forgiveness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. Thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel. For they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. He that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus I will accomplish my fury upon them. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. So will I stretch out my hand upon them, and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diblath, in all their habitations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. For the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. In my Sabbaths they greatly polluted them. I said, I will pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. See the mercy of God even upon the chosen people of Israel. You could not ever say he did not love them. For the scriptures continue to say, but I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. And now you understand why today's Judaism doesn't even follow the Bible. They have made up their own judgments, their own statutes. Many of it recorded in the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Gemara. These are things that are man-made. Most of them are man-made traditions, opinions, but are not the very words of God. God said if they were going to go against him, that God would not even allow them to follow the word of God anymore, but to be given over to their own appetites. Well, this is all the time that we have, and we appreciate your listening ear and desiring to know the reasons why the nation of Israel suffers. We'll continue, for there's a lot to consider here, but everything the Jews have ever gone through, there lies a reason from the Scriptures. May God richly bless you, and We hope that you'll come back next time to listen to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Now, just stay with us just a few more minutes and hear some free offers.
Keep His covenant and show His mercy unto Thy servants that walk before Thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.